Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Think about this. Never in the scriptures do we find angels being filled with the Holy Spirit. But God's chosen us, the church, individuals who are saved, to be filled with the Spirit. And so we not only have Christ in us, but we have the power of the Spirit working in us as well.
We're starting a series on such an important section of Scripture today on practical Christian living. If you're a note taker, these are notes you're going to want to read and reread. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, talking about the armor of God, spiritual warfare, and the authority we have over the enemy because of Jesus. With the first teaching in our series, Combat Zone, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
So with your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 6, let's pray and let's begin. Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, and it is profound. It is life-changing. When we learn what is in your word and we learn what you want from us and we do it, we are blessed. We live under your blessing and we want to live under that blessing. And today, as we enter into this topic of spiritual warfare, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us. So many things are taught that are heretical and that just are not biblical in this area. We ask that you would keep us aligned with your word, that we would learn the truth about what's taking place in the invisible realm around us. And we thank you so much for all you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, we will start we're going to start today a 12-week series out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. This is the section where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So it is the section that talks about a spiritual battle and that we are a part of that. That when you think about it, just the beginning section there, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The real battle that takes place is the spiritual battle. Here's what it says in Ephesians 6:12. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. The title of our series is Combat Zone. So that's what we'll be talking about for the next 12 weeks. We're going to look at the spiritual battle. We're going to ask ourselves, we want to be biblical about it because there's so much when it comes to the study of the demonic realm, that really is wrong and is heretical, so much that just is not biblical. We want to make sure that we are biblical in what we believe. And I don't want you guys to be scared of the spiritual battle. Some people are like, you're talking about the devil. Don't talk about him. It's best just to leave him alone. No, we've been given authority, and I want to show you that. I want to show you that you have authority in him. Now, while we're here on the earth, we are in a combat zone. It's in a different realm. It's in an unseen world. But there are angels and there are demons that are at work. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that have life. Jesus talked about the angels of children, the idea of guardian angels. We have angels that are around us. And that's important when we start talking about the spiritual battle, because we know we're involved in it, but we want to make sure that we're taken care of as well, because we don't really see it. We can't see it. And so it's hard to really understand what it is. Now, in a combat zone, you need to be vigilant, aware, prepared. That's what we are told in this passage. This is not the only passage that tells us that we are in a combat zone. Romans 8, 37 and 38 says, yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, that's a reference to demonic forces, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's great love for you, that Jesus came, that he and demonstrated that by dying for you. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We're guaranteed success in the church. We're just to go out and do the work that we're supposed to do. We've been given the keys to the kingdom, as I'm going to read you here in a moment, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Now, the gates of hell don't have legs. That would be cartoonish. The gates of hell don't have wheels. So we are marching on the gates of Hades. And the word for Hades here really is Hades. It's the grave. It's the afterlife. That's the idea. And so we're literally marching on the gates of hell to rescue people from that. That's what the spiritual battle is over. Wars are fought over land most often. Wars are fought over hostages as well. And you and I are in a battle that's over the souls or men and women that are being held hostage by the enemy. And we are called to be a part of that battle. He goes on to say, "The gates of Hades will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom." We know how to let people in. The keys to the kingdom is the gospel, and the gospel is God's power unto salvation. And so we let people in. I've used this reference to tell people before that I've got the keys to the kingdom and I can let you in. If you want into heaven, I can let you know how that can happen, because we've been given the keys. And then he says, "And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And this reaches over into that spiritual realm where the demonic forces are fighting against. He is the God of this world, and he blinds the eyes of those who don't believe. And there's a spiritual battle that takes place in the altar call at the church. When we begin to give people opportunities to come to Christ, there's a spiritual battle that takes place, and we need to understand that. Luke 10:19 says, and I love this verse, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you." We have been given power to trample on serpents and scorpions, which is a metaphor, not for serpents and scorpions, but for the demonic serpents and scorpions that are out there, and we've been given power over them. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." And that's really all we need to know when we're talking about facing off with the demonic world. He is in us. Christ is in us. And he is greater than any presence that Satan, anything that's in the world. And Christ is inside of each one of us. Now, not only is Christ in us, but we've been given the Holy Spirit. And think about this. Never in the scriptures do we find angels being filled with the Holy Spirit. But God's chosen us, the church, individuals who are saved, to be filled with the Spirit. And so we not only have Christ in us, but we have the power of the Spirit working in us as well. Now, the title of our first study in the series Combat Zone is A Call to Arms. So this is that there's a battle. Are you aware of that? This is a call to be involved in the battle. If you're on the sidelines and you're unaware, to know that you have this call to be in that battle, the call to arms, embracing your role in the spiritual battle. We're going to be looking at verse 10 in our study today. We're going to take 12 studies, Lord willing, to make our way through this put on the armor of God passage. I want us to really dive in and to really understand these things. Now, this is considering the battle that is going on around us in the unseen realm and the questions. Am I in the battle? How do I get in the battle if I'm not in the battle? So we want to look at those kind of things today. Now I have a subtitle, and the subtitle is Awakening to the Battle. That's the idea, that we just get an idea. There's angels and there's demons out there that we don't even know about. There's things going on that we don't see, and we need to be aware that it is spiritual. Every once in a while, I'll be having a difficulty in my life, and someone will say, "Maybe it's spiritual," and a little light bulb will go off. Oh, yeah, Maybe it is spiritual. And I think men especially, we're so used to rolling up our sleeves. When there's a difficulty and a problem, we roll up our sleeves, we go out to get after it, forgetting that there's a spiritual battle that is taking place. Our goal today will be to see there is a spiritual battle. As Christians, are we a part of it? Now, there's an account in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, where Elisha, there's a war between Israel and Syria. Sounds like today, doesn't it? There's a war between Israel and Syria, and Elijah is receiving information from God. This is Elisha, right? The one who followed Elijah. So Elisha is receiving information from God about the movements of the Syrians. So he's going to King Joram and telling him what's happening. And so finally the king of Syria figures out that it's Elisha. So he goes to the city of Dotham, where Elijah's at night, and he surrounds the village with their army. The army of Syria surrounds the village of Dotham. And when they wake up in the morning, Elisha's servant looks out and sees the army of Assyria or Syria around the city. And he panics. Oh no, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? And Elisha says, God, he says, don't be alarmed. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And he gets a little bit more concerned. And Elisha finally says, Lord, open up his eyes. And his eyes are opened and he sees horses and chariots in the spiritual realm. I think of the spiritual realm being opened. I don't think about seeing horses. I think about seeing angels, but horses and chariots, and that there were more surrounding the Assyrian army than there was with them. Now, the battle went like this. God blinded the Assyrian army. They started groping for who they would look for, and Elisha went out and said, guys, listen, I can take you where you need to go. And he led them all the way to Samaria, the capital of Israel, and led them in as prisoners of war. So God fought everything on a spiritual level. That's what we're talking about here. The enemy would like to keep you spiritually oppressed. He would like to keep you being confident, but the Spirit of God is with you and we have armies around us. Now in the book of Daniel, Daniel fasts and prays in Daniel chapter 10 for 21 days. And finally, an angel shows up and says, take heart, Daniel. On the day you started praying, I heard. But as I was coming, I had to battle the prince. Remember I said principalities and powers are demonic forces. They're like rankings within spirits. The prince of Persia hindered me. And then he said, I have to go back and fight the prince of Greece. Well, in the book, end of the book of Daniel, it says that a time is coming that's unlike anything this world has ever seen. And in that day, the great prince, the prince of your people, Daniel is told, will stand up, Michael the archangel. So there's princes that are demonic over cities, and there's angels who are princes over cities as well. So this principality and power is not just for dark angels, but it's for all angels. And Michael is the prince of the nation of Israel. So just think about that. Go. That's in Daniel chapter 12. Read the first few verses there. And it says in the last days, when the armies surround the nation of Israel, Michael's going to stand up. What a picture that is. Of Michael going, all right, time to get to business now. Michael will stand up. Now, I'd like us to read the text. This is the first of the study in our series. So I'd like us to start by reading the entire text of putting on the armor of God. So let me read it to you. I want to start from verse 10. Verse 10 will be the verse we're covering today. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're to watch out for one another. We put on the armor ourselves. We're walking in these areas that we're going to be talking about, but then we pray and lift up each other. This is what God wants from us. Now, on June 4th in 1940, during World War II, after a defeat for the Allies at this point, Winston Churchill stood up and he gave a speech to the British people, calling them to awaken to the battle. Here's what he said. He said, "I have full confidence that if we all do our duty, we shall prove ourselves able to defend our island home and outlive the menace of tyranny. Even if large parts of Europe have fallen into Nazi control," and that's what was happening in 1940, we shall not fail, Winston Churchill said. "We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall never surrender." And that particular speech was a speech that encouraged a lot of people who were in the UK to step up and do what they had to do. If you look at a map as to where UK is, where France is, which kind of became the center of that war, and then where Germany is, you realize how close they were together. Now, like Churchill's calls to arms, Paul issues a divine call to arms for every believer in this particular section, letting you know that there is a battle and we will fight in it. We will not just stand on the sidelines and let someone else fight, but we'll fight. We'll figure out what it is that we have to do. That we would be, not that we would be strong in ourselves, by the way, but that we would be strong in the Lord. So this is Ephesians 6:10, and this is what we're going to consider today. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren." Notice that this is to the Christians. That's the brethren, and it's a reference to all Christians. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Two things here. We are to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, first of all, this is a commandment to be strong. And we are encouraged in other places in Scripture to be strong as well. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith." So your enemy walks around like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for the stragglers. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were set free as slaves. The Amalekites came in behind them and picked off those who were straggling behind. And it took them a while to figure out that people were missing and what was taking place. God eventually spoke harshly of the Amalekites because of what they did. They are very much like the enemy. The enemy picks on those who are weak. The enemy is looking for weaknesses. The enemy is looking for those who are mentally weak. The enemy is looking for those who are spiritually weak. And so we need to make a decision to be strong, that we are not going to be weak. And when we are strong, then we're standing up for the people who are weak. We're able to be used by God to be able to do those things for those who are weak, because the enemy is a roaring lion. He's seeking who he can devour. He's not going to be able to devour someone who's strong, but he's looking for the weak that he can devour. Now, this command to be strong is a command to be strong and vigilant, which means that we continue, that we continue in it. 2 Chronicles 5:17 says, "But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." When we knuckle down and say, you know what, I'm going to be who I need to be. I'm going to be spiritually who I need to be. I'm going to get sin out of my life the way that I need to. I'm not going to give the devil a place in my life. We'll be talking about all of these things over the next few weeks. It says you will be rewarded. Joshua, it's interesting, Joshua is the one who brings them into the promised land. And when we think of the character of Joshua, he's the young man that came out of Egypt with Moses, and he was Moses' second. And then when Moses died outside of the promised land and wasn't let go in, Joshua led them in. But from the moment that Joshua was spoken to by the Lord, messages were given to him to be strong and be courageous. Some have suggested that perhaps he wasn't strong and courageous, that he had a sense where he would become scared. And so God continued to encourage him. God encourages us in our weaknesses that we could become strong. And when we think of Joshua and Caleb today, we think of them as strong men who stood up for God, who were spies in the land, who said, let's go in and take the land. And then 40 years later, Caleb went in and fought the area that he was in where there were giants, and Joshua led them in. And so in Joshua 1:9, it says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. They were going to face the Canaanites' army, and we had been told that they had seen giants in the land. They had said we are like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, that was a hyperbole. They were big, but they weren't that big. But it's, you know, when you stand next to someone, when Shaquille O'Neal was playing for LSU, I took my son David down to watch them play. And Shaquille O'Neal was around the hoop, and I said, let's just go walk down there. Let's just go walk by him. And so, what is Shaquille O'Neal, 7 feet tall? I think it says 7'2". I think he might be a little bit under that. I think it may exaggerate a little bit. I don't know. Don't tell him I said that if you see him. But walking by him was like, it was like a giant. It was like, it's unbelievable how big this man is when you walk by him. I'm a little under 6 feet tall. And I walk by him, it's like, how could somebody who's basically a foot taller be that much bigger? That's exactly what they saw. And they were fearful. That fear kept them out of the promised land. And when we become fearful in the battle, it keeps us from what God wants us to do. Like a military commander giving orders to his troops for battle, this isn't a suggestion, but it's a command. Be strong in the power of the Lord. General Douglas MacArthur once said, in war, there is no substitute for victory. And we've already been guaranteed victory. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. Warren Wiersbe, who was a tremendous radio pastor and wrote many, many great books, was the first one that I ever heard say, we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. And that's the truth. As long as we're in the battle, that's what matters. We will win if we are in the battle. The outcome, we already know how it's going to turn out, but we just need to be in the battle.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.